Now we're holding on page 60 in Psachim. Page 60 in Psachim. Page 60, three or four lines from the top. We were in the middle of learning that there are a number of special things in Halal HaMitzri, which is the Halal that we say on Yom Tovim, Hanukkah, and so forth, and by the Seder. Even though Halal HaGadol has the great thing in it, that Nosim Lechem L'chol Basar, that Hashem sustains every creature, but Halal HaMitzri has several other important principles of Yiddishkeit in it, and therefore we need to say it. So one of the Halal HaMitzri is the regular Halal, what we think of as regular Halal. It's called Halal HaMitzri because it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the last thing we said was that Rav Nachman Chizki had said that you have, in Halal, you have a hint to where Tzaddikim went into the fiery furnace and how they came out of it safely. So we said the Pasuk, Lailonu Hashem Lailonu, to the Shem Chatern Kovar, Ochastach Ha'alam Yitzecha, was said by Hanani Mishol Vazariah at the time, and the next pasuk, Lama Yom Ragoyim, all of them said together that why should the nation say, where is Hashem, that he can't save them, which in fact Nebuchadnezzar was claiming at the time that he actually tells them in the pasuk in Daniel, what God do you think is going to be able to save you from my power? So they're all saying, Hashem, show that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know what he's talking about. So now, Bala Yosem, when they came out of the furnace safely, then you have also Psukim in Halal that they said each in turn. When it says, Hallelujah, Hashem Kol Goyim, all nations praise Hashem, Omer Hananiah. Then Hananiah was the one who said that. Shabchuhu Kol Omim, when it continues, all the peoples should glorify Hashem, Omer Mishol. Ki Gover Alenu Chaster Omer Azariah. And the idea is, as we learned yesterday, Marashah says, these psukim seem a little bit repetitious. So therefore, we understand that each one is actually a phrase that was said by one of these people at the time. And Ve'emes Hashem La'olam Halalukah, when it finishes off, the truth of Hashem is forever. Amru Kolam, all of that said that jointly. Because now it was demonstrated through that they were saved, it demonstrates that Hashem is the only true power, which in fact, in the psukim, it goes on to say, Nebuchadnezzar himself was finally forced to acknowledge that. So the point is, Halal, or Halal HaMitzri, as the Gemara is calling it over here, has this important point about how tzaddikim are exposed to tremendous danger, and Hashem saves them, and makes a worldwide Kiddush Hashem, and therefore that's an important reason to say Halal. Rabbi Yochanan, or Yesh Omrim, says that actually those words, Ve'emes Hashem La'olam Halalukah, that was actually said by Gavriel at the time. Now we know that Gavriel was involved over there because in the Psukim there in Daniel, it says that Nebuchadnezzar all of a sudden is astonished. He says to his courtiers over there, didn't we throw three people into the furnace? I see four people walking around in there, without chains, without ropes or whatever. There's not a scratch on them, and there's a fourth person with them who looks like a malach. So there was, in fact, a malach with them, as the Gemara is going to go on to say that Gavriel was with them. So how does Gavriel come to be there? Going back more than 1,000 years, when Nimrod threw Avraham into the fiery furnace, and that's Rashbam refers that to, we have the pasuk in this week's parasha when we have the four kings who fought against Sodom. The first one is Amraphel, and we know Rashi brings over there on the pasuk from a Gemara in Erevin that Amraphel is another name for Nimrod because Omar Poel, he told to Avraham fall into the fiery furnace. So now when he did that, Omer Gavriel, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Erev Ba'atzanin, Ba'atzalos HaTzadik, V'Kiv Shanesh. Hashem, let me go down and cool off the fire, and I'll save the Tzadik from the fiery furnace. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem says, no, I'm not going to delegate it to you. Ani Yochid Ba'olami, V'Hu Yochid Ba'olami. I am the only one, I am the unique one in my world, because I'm the only Metzius. Avraham is the unique one in the world, because he's the only one who's going and teaching anybody in the world about Elikus. Keep in mind, you know, of course, you had at the time, you had Tzaddikim, you had Noyach, according to many opinions, was still alive then, Shem and Aver, and so forth, but they were all, they were like, to a certain extent, classic Tzaddik and Pelts, Noyach definitely, and even Shem and Aver, fine, they had a yeshiva. If you want to come to them, then they'll teach you, but they're not going out, on Mitzoyim and Apostas Amayonis, only Avram is. So therefore, so he's unique in the world. So it's only appropriate that the unique one should save the unique one. So therefore, Hashem says, I'm not delegating it to any malachim. I'm going to go and deal with it myself. However, now on the other hand, though, Hashem does not withhold the reward for any creature. Even a malach deserves a reward for wanting to do what Hashem wants. Ben Yehoyada actually talks about that. He says, why? I mean, malachim have no bechira chofshes. Why should they get a reward for wanting to do what Hashem wants? Isn't that their nature? He says, that's true, but when a malach has to come down here to earth and be involved with dvorim gashmiim, it's kind of a letdown for him, he being a ruchniistic creature, and therefore, like, to go, he's going beyond what would be normal for him, therefore he does deserve a certain schar for it. So now, because Hashem doesn't withhold such schar, omaleis, Hashem tells him, tizkev atatzel shloshim ibnei bonav. In the end, you will have the schus to save three of his descendants. So how did that come about? How does Gavriel, so what happened with Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia? Kedidorash of Shimon Hatzidoni or Hashiloni, Vishal Shehipel and Vachanetza or Roshas, Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia, will say Kibshan Esh, Omer Yurkimi Sarabod of the Fnakarish Bokhu. Yurkimi, that's his name, is the Malach in charge of Hail. He says to Hashem, "We're going to shalom ered vatsan and asakivshan. Let me go down, cool off the furnace. Va'atzal tzadikim etzat tzadikim alolam kivshan eish. And that way, I'll save the tzadikim from the furnace." Omer like Gavriel, but Gavriel says, "Ein gedolas yishal hakadosh baruch hu b'kach. That won't show the greatness of Hashem." After all, you're the malach of hail. Everybody knows water puts out fire. So if you come, what are you going to do? You're going to make it hail all of a sudden. So it's going to look like a nest that's vested in terror. Ela ani sar shel esh. I'm the malach of fire. I will cool off the fire on the inside so that Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia are not harmed by it, and I'll make it extra hot from the outside, as in fact we find in the Pesukim in Daniel, where it says that the various goyim who took Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia and arrested them and threw into the fire, a tongue of flame came out of there. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar ordered the fire should be made seven times as large as before. After Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia defied him, he was furious at them. He orders that they should stoke the fire even more. And then the pasuk says that the goyim who were the goyish police who arrested them and threw them into the fire, they themselves were killed by a tongue of fire shot out and killed them. So Nebuchadnezzar himself, the Medrash says, was also a bit singed by the fire. So now, so Gavriel says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make the fire extra hot on the outside. And that way I'll do a nest within a nest. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reid. So Hashem tells Gavriel, go ahead and do that. So now Gavriel got his reward for wanting to save Avraham all those years before. Now, Marsha points out, so what was Yurkami thinking that he even asks the question? Doesn't he realize Hashem promised Gabriel all those many years before? So Marsha says maybe Yurkami didn't know about it. So first of all, that would explain why to begin with, by Abraham, he didn't even bother speaking up because he knew that Hashem, it was pretty obvious that Hashem is going to answer that he himself is going to save Abraham. Now, when it came to Hanani, Mishael, Azaria, maybe he didn't know that Hashem had promised Gavriel. And Ben Yehoyada says that's a bit of a dirt to say that the Malach doesn't know that. He says very simple. You could say to Gabriel, okay, Hashem said you're going to save three of his descendants. Who says it's after these three? There'll be some other occasion where there'll be three tzaddikim in a furnace and you'll save them. So therefore, so Gabriel has to tell him that no, it's more of a kiddush Hashem that I'll save them. So then Gabriel started saying these words from Tillim, from Hallel, the truth of Hashem is forever, meaning as much as it was so long ago that Hashem made this promise, but Hashem still keeps his truth and his word and gave me my reward all this time later. Another Yesh Emim or Rav Nosson, actually the Gemara tells us in Horius that after the whole story over there with Rav Meir and Rav Nosson wanting to depose of Shimon Gamliel and they themselves getting kicked out of this Medrash for a while, the whole story over there, eventually they gave Rav Meir the name Acherim and they gave Rav Nosson Yesh Emim. So in that case, Yesh Emim and Rav Nosson are the same person anyway. Anyway, so he says, the Emes Hashem La'olam Dogim Shabayam Amru. It was actually the fish in the sea who said that possibly. Now, Marsha points out the fish themselves don't actually speak. What we have is the famous Perek Shira that describes all the various Nivroyim, how they sing to Hashem. What it may mean is, in other words, the Malachim of each kind of thing. So here would mean the Malach of the fish said these words in honor of Hashem. And that would be Kiddur Rav Huna based on the story that Rav Huna said. The Omer Rav Huna, Yisrael Shabu Oysadur Miktane Amona Hoyu. The Jewish people in that generation, by Kriyas Yamsuf, had very little Amunah in Hashem. And as the Gemara is going to go on to say, v'chidid dorash Rabba Bar Mori, as in turn, Rabba Bar Mori says a drosha. My dichtiv by Yamru al Yom by Yamsuf. The pasuk says in Tilim, it has a bit of kuf hey and kuf vav, almost like a short summary of Jewish history up to David HaMelech's times. So it mentions in kuf vav, it focuses on the times when the Jewish people messed up. And it's a Vayamru Ayom, they rebelled against Hashem, Vyamsuf, after Yamsuf, Vayashim, Laman Shmoy, and yet Hashem saved them for the sake of his name so there wouldn't be a Chilul Hashem. So what is that? In what way did they rebel against Hashem by the Yamsuf? Now, this Gemara is also an Eichen. Marashah points out over there, now you could say, well, the fact that before Kriyas Yamsuf, they complain, Hamidli and Kvorim in Mitzrayim, would you bring us out of here to die when we could have just stayed in Mitzrayim? But fine, then the Pasuk wouldn't have repeated the word Yam. When it says Vayamru al Yom be Yam Suf, then we're meant to understand that there were two rebellions against Hashem. And in fact, the Mishnah in Erchin there lists. We know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that there were 10 times that the Jewish people tested Hashem in the Midbar. So the Gemara, the Mishnah there in Erchin mentions that point, and and the Gemara explains what the 10 times were, including two of them were at the Yam Suf. So what happened? Malamacha Himru Yisrael, but Oseshah, the Jewish people were rebellious and arguing against Hashem at that time. But Omru, when they said, Kishem Shanu Olam Mitzad Echad, just as we're coming out of the sea on one side, Kach Mitzrayim Olam Mitzad Echad, the same way the Mitzrayim are going to come out on another side and they're going to continue attacking us. Now, how could they think such a thing? So there's a famous Tosfos, and the Rambam mentions this point also in his Pirush HaMishnayos, that their path through the Yam Suf was not straight from one side to another, but rather it was in a semicircle. So they actually came out on the same side of the Yam Suf as they went in. So therefore, they're figuring, well, the Mitzrayim, at least some of them, may have gotten away, and therefore they're going to come after us. Not everybody agrees with that, by the way. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as Pirush on the Haggadah, disagrees with that and says, no, the Pashtus, they went across. The whole reason, he says, Tosfos brings over there, what's the basis to say that they went in a semicircle is because afterwards you find in the Masois, you find in Pashtus Masse, when it lists all the places where they traveled and camped, so it mentions they crossed the Yam Suf, and then a few stops later it says, Vayachnu al Yam Suf. So what are they doing back on the Yam Suf would mean that they never crossed it in the first place. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, you don't have to say it. I mean, the Yam Suf's a big place. There could be plenty of places along the other side of it where they could be camping at some point. Be that as it may, so now they're concerned maybe the Mitzrayim will go around the tip of it and come back after them or whatever. So, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sal Shoyam, Ploitoisim Le'abasha. Hashem says to the Malach of the sea, spit out the dead bodies of the Mitzrayim onto dry land. Like this, they drowned in the sea, and like this, they would have remained there and the fish would have eaten them. So now, Hashem is telling the Sal Shoyam, spit them out onto the ground, and that way everybody, and that way the Jews can see that they're actually dead. That's what you have in the Pasuk. By Yah Yisrael Sintraim, Mesal Sasayam, they actually have to see them with their own eyes. The Sal Shoyam says Hashem, is it right that a master should give a slave a matana and then take it back? You gave me the bodies of these Mitzrayim that I and my fish can enjoy them, and now you're taking it back. Hashem says, don't you worry, I'll give you 1.5 times as many of them. As we'll go on to say, when Hashem fulfilled that promise, whereby Paret had 600 chariots with him, and later on Sisera with his army had 900. So that's 1.5 times as much. Why doubt the 1.5? There are a couple of different things that Mephoshim point out. Ben Yoyada talks about it, something relating to the Hey Gvuras, so the five ender letters that represent different aspects of Gvura, where the Mithrium 600 chariots represent the Shlosmem, which is like the head, and Sisra's 900 represent the other extremity of the body, which is, and therefore it's 900 compared to 600. A couple of Mephoshim also talk about an idea that the same way as we find by Hidur Mitzvah, you're supposed to add up to 1/3 of the cost of the Mitzvah should go towards the Hidur of it, meaning if you have a Mitzvah that to do it in a regular way would cost 100, and to do it with the Hidur would cost 150, then you expected to pay that extra 50 the same way Hashem is going to do the Hidur and pay back the sea with the extra 50.
That's not a third, though. The extra 50 would be
50 is half of the original, meaning that 50, the Gemara calls it Shlish Milavat, meaning it's a third of the entire total. the entire total, 50 is one third of 150. We have the same kind of thing, by the way, for example, when we talk about a choymesh, when you have the idea that the person eats truma b'shoygeg, or a person redeems as ma'is sheni, or a few other things in halacha, where a person has to pay a choymesh, the choymesh is calculated the same way you have, let's say, with truma. A person ate $10 worth of truma, he's paying the kohen $12.50 worth of fruit. The $2.50 extra is one-fifth of the total that he's paying the kohen. That's called choymesh malavar, about a fifth from the outside, meaning when you take the entire total that he's paying, then this is one-fifth of that. Say what again? Yeah, because in other words, Hashem had given the bodies of the Mitzrayim, and the fish can eat them, and now Hashem is telling him to spit them out, and the fish won't be able to eat them after all. So Hashem says, I'll pay you back 1.5 times as much. Almost a fun of, but still, the Sar Shoyam says to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shalom, Klum Yesh Eved Shetaveyas Rabbi L'din, how can an Eved go and take his master to a Din Torah? In other words, what? You're saying that you're going to pay me back. And that means I'm going to have to come at some point and, so to speak, take you to a Din Torah to get you to pay up, but I'm not going to have the break tight to do that. In fact, you have the expression in the pasuk, which the Gemara brings in certain contexts of halacha, eved loyva leishmalve. So to speak, the lender is to a certain extent an eved to the borrower is an eved to the lender. So certainly the master Hashem is not going to be the eved to the borrower in this case, the sau shoyam, to the lender, the sau shoyam. So Hashem says, Nacho Kishon Yehe Yir Orev. Nacho Kishon, in the stream, a stream that's in the north of Eretz Yisrael, it runs along in the middle north of Eretz Yisrael and empties into the Mediterranean. That will be the guarantor that will see to it that the debt will be paid off. Marsha points out that actually now, in halacha, when you have a malva, a loiva, and an orev, usually the halacha is you have to go to the loiva first. You have to see if the loiva can pay. Only if he can't, then you go to the orev. So here, how we say Nachal Kishon is going to be the orev, as if it's going to be first, he's going to have the first crack at it. So Marsha says, Nachal Kishon is not just going to be a regular orev, but rather an orev kablon, which is an orev who takes a greater degree of responsibility. It's Macholikos Rashi and Tosfos, how exactly a person becomes an orev kablon, but be that as it may, the point is that then so to speak, the Sar Shoyam can go to, or rather the Nachal Kishon can go and collect the debt from Hashem directly, and Hashem can pay Nachal Kishon, and the sea will get its due that way. That was by Sisera, that's what we're going to talk about. What? About diamonds? Nachal Kishon, it's a stream in the north. It's a stream in the north of Eretz Yisrael. It runs. I'm not familiar. I don't know. Anyway, Miyad Koltam the Shlichim Leyabasha. So right away, the sea spit out the bodies onto the dry land. Uvo Yisrael, Vero Oisim, and sure enough, then the Jews can see that they're there, and therefore they behind the Chdir by Yah Yisrael Sitzan Meis Hasfas Hayom. And then, as Marshal says, the pasuk continues by Yaminu Vashem of Moshe Avdo, implying that up till then there were some Jews who didn't fully believe until they actually saw the bodies on dry land. By the way, the Rashbam points out that afterwards those bodies didn't just stay there on the bank forever. They eventually sank into the ground and were buried. So these Mitzrayim were zoicha to be buried in the schosav right before that, when Hashem is already dragging their chariots into the Yam. So if they finally wake up and realize Ki Hashem nocham lahem b'Mitzrayim, it's Hashem fighting on behalf of the Jewish people. So for that belated recognition of Hashem, they were zoicha to, they were actually buried rather than just staying there and rotting on the bank. But the point is that meanwhile, that's what it says, and we say in Oz Yashim, but in between, though, they were on the bank, on the seashore, and that way the Jews could see them. So now, my echod mechta shebehem, what do you mean 1.5 times as many? Pare had with him 600 hand-picked chariots. The Ilva Sisra, Ksip Chameh, Surecha Barzel. Sisra, when he came to attack the Jewish people, we're talking about 200 years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, then he had with him 900 iron chariots. Now, to be sure, by Pare, it doesn't say that there were only 600, it continues, V'chil Rechav Mitzrayim. But by Sisra also, there were 900 iron chariots, plus the pastures, there were a bunch of other regular wooden ones. Anyway, V'chil Sisra, so now when Sisra came to attack the Jewish people in Devorah and Barak's time, they came against them armed with iron spears. So what did Hashem do to them? Hashem brought out the stars from their courses in Shemayim to attack them. As we have in Devorah's song, in Shemayim Nochomu, from the heavens they fought, HaKechavim Siloisim, we're going with the stars from their paths in Shemayim, fought against Tisra. What does that mean? How did they fight? The stars came down closer to earth above Sisera and his army. So now those iron, now all that iron equipment was heated up by the heat of the stars. Tosfos, by the way, mentions, you know, earlier in the Masechta, we had the expression that the whole Kol Yishuv, Kol Tachas Koychav Echad Uomid, that the entire settled area of the world is all under one star because the stars are much larger than the earth. So how are we saying now, and how are we saying now here that the stars were able to come closer to the earth and affect only the area where Sisera and his army were? So Tosfos distinguishes between the stars and the planets in this regard. Anyway, so it heated up things. So they're all hot. So now the battlefield is going to be by the banks of the river Kishon. So all of Sisera's army went into the river to cool themselves off from the heat. So now Hashem tells Nachal Kishon, now it's time for you to pay off your arevos, you were the guarantor for the sea. Now it's time for you to do your job. So sure enough, Nachal Kishon swept all those soldiers away and then swept them off, and they all floated out into the sea. So therefore the sea got its due after all. It got 900 chariots worth of soldiers' bodies for the feast for the fish to feast on instead of pirates 600. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Devorah's Shira, Nachal Kishon grotham, Nachal Kishon swept them away, Nachal Kishon, Nachal Kedumim. She continues, the ancient stream. Now, my Nachal Kedumim, what do we mean by the ancient stream? Nachal Shenasa Orev Mikedem. It means a stream that became an Orev in olden times, 200 years before Sisera. So now the fish started speaking in Hashem's praise, or as Marashal said, the malach of the fish, that Hashem's truthfulness endures forever, that again, Hashem made this promise to the Yam hundreds of years earlier, and now Hashem made sure that the promise got fulfilled, and that the Orev, Nachal Kishon, did its job. So that's another place where the Emes Hashem La'olam was said. Okay, now the Gemara continues with a couple of drushes on a couple of other psukim in Hallel. Omer Pshim and Lokesh, my dichtiv Moshivi Akeres Abayis, at the end of the first capital of Hallel. Moshivi Akeres Abayis, literally it means Hashem makes the barren one of the house, Ema Bonim Smecha, he settles her as a happy mother of children. Hallelujah, so you should praise Hashem. But now the Gemara is going to darshan that phrase differently. What's Akeres Abayis in particular? So Omra Knesset Yisrael of Nachkodesh Baruch Hu means the Jewish people say before Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Samuni Bonecha Kecholda Zu Shedara Beikrei Batim. Your children have made me like a cholda, which is a weasel or a mouse or some other rodent like that, that lives at the bottoms of houses. So what does that mean? Rashbam explains that it means that the important Zkenim and the important people among the Jewish people are saying regarding the Jews who are less careful about Torah and Mitzvahs. So in other words, Ema Bonim implies, so Akeres were dashing the Lashon Iker, like the bases, like the foundations of the house. Eim HaBonim suggests that the mother is talking about what's going on with the children. So she's saying, your children, because of their Averis during Golos, have made me like no better than a weasel that has to skulk around in the basements of the houses rather than being able to be, so that's Akeres HaBais. So it's not a positive. So eventually that gets cleaned up. And Ema Bonim Smecha, after all, she ends up being able to be happy with her children, that they are doing the right thing, and therefore, hallelujah. Marsha, actually, to begin with, says he says, Taka, Ema Bonim Smecha doesn't really fit with that. So therefore, he says, no, it means Lamal Yusa, that we're saying that the Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are compared like a chulda, which is sometimes in concealment, sometimes visible. So the same way, like the Jewish people are always there, regardless. We're always the Ikrei Abatim. We're always at the foundation and at the root of everything. So in that case, then it comes out Amal Yusa, that it's a good thing, and therefore we can say Ema Bonim Smecha. Eitz Yosef brings another point as well. That it means that we're saying that up until now we were like a lowly weasel having to skulk around in the basement of the houses, and like you have in the Urdi Psukim, Me'ashbis Yonim Evian, but now Hashem is lifting us out of that, and the upper door, and therefore Ema Bonim Smecha Adalui. Then he brings another. So that's according to Rashbam, it's negative. But then Marshall says, so what are you doing with the Ema Bonim Smecha? So therefore, Marshall understands it to begin with to be something positive. And Eitz Yosef explains that it's a progression. It starts out negative, but then from it comes something positive, that Hashem lifts us out of that. And you also have the idea. You have the Gemara that says that if the Jewish people don't do tshuva, then Hashem brings a melech kosher kahaman, and that causes everybody to do tshuva. So the same way over here, because of the Mashivya Akedas Abayis, because we're lowly like the weasel and like the mouse, that itself brings about Ema Bonim Smecha, because it causes that everybody does tshuva.
It starts.
So then according to that, it comes out a positive thing.
By the end,
yeah. Yeah. So Marshall is saying to begin with, it's a positive thing. Wow. Yeah. So he's saying that, in other words, that just like a weasel is sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, but it's always there the same way. In other words, the Jewish people are always there, whether you see us or whether you don't, we're still always there at the base of things and always at the root of things. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Rav, my dichtiv ahavti ki yishma Hashem. Elsewhere in Hallel, we have the pasuk says, I love that Hashem hears my voice. Now, the problem with that is, the Maharshal says, first of all, what do you mean? The word ahavti doesn't really fit over there. Bikashti, I'm asking, ta'avti, I desire that Hashem should hear my voice. What's ahavti? So therefore, and different other mafoshim over here talk about other possibilities. One of them being, what do you mean, ahavti, if it means I love Hashem? I love Hashem because he listens to my voice. And what if Hashem doesn't listen to our voice? We don't love him. Are we doing amanas lekabel pras? So therefore, the Gemara needs to understand in a different way. It means omr knesis yisrael lefnei kodesh baruch hu ribon shlodim emasani ahuva lefanecha. When am I beloved to you? When do you show ahavti? Not I love you, but rather when do you show your love for me? Bizman shata shemei kotach nunai. When you listen to the sound of my pleas, then everybody sees openly that you love me. And he continues, Daloisi v'liyoshia, I was poor and Hashem lifted me up. So it means not only in past tense, but also in present and future. Omra Knesset Yisrael of Nakarish Bokhu, Rebbeinu Shalom, Achapisha Dala Ani Mina Mitzvahs, even though I'm poor of mitzvahs, Lecha Ani, I'm still yours, V'li Noeloshia, and it's only appropriate that you should be saving me because we're your people. In Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks about the idea that this refers to, you have the people, it also refers not just on a national level, but on an individual level. You have individual people who don't have enough schusim, and they deserve a spell in Gehenna, but Hashem schleps them out of there and then has Rachmanis on them. That's also included in Dalosi V'li Yeshia. In fact, Rashi mentions over there that you have the Beninim, they're exactly half mitzvahs and half averus. We don't mean, of course, a Benini of Tanya. We mean what people usually think of as a Benini, that they don't have enough schusim that's exactly balanced, but Hashem is mata klape chesed. Hashem pushes down the scale on the side of chesed, and that's galoi sibili yoshi. Gemara continues. More on the topic of psukim from Halo, which is going to lead us into other drashas. Amar Rav Kahana, kishachol Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. When Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi was sick, shalach loy Rebbe, emor lanu shnayim gimel dvarim shamarta lanu mishum avicha. Please tell us two or three things that you previously told us in your father's name. In other words, that you've previously told us these vertlach from your father Rabbi Yosi, but now we. Not Rabbi Yosi Agrivi, but Rabbi Yosi ben Chalakta. Regular Rabbi Yosi, Stam Rabbi Yosi in the Tana is Rabbi Yosi ben Chalakta, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was his son. So Rabbi is saying, we know that your father, Rabbi Yosi, taught a lot of important things in Torah. Please tell us, now that you're sick, please tell them to us, because otherwise, if you're gone, then we'll never know them. Rashbam points out, actually, this isn't the only place in Shas where you have this expression. There's a few other places in Shas, also in Shabbos, also in Avodah Zarah, where you have the same thing, that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was sick, and Rebbe sent him the same message. So what does that mean? The Rashbam says could be that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi was sick different times, and each time Rebbe sent him this message, and each time he replied with several different statements from his father, Rabbi Yossi, or that it all happened only once, and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi sent back a whole bunch of things, and then the Gemara skips each one in its appropriate place in Shas.
And they don't write
it down because it was Torah Shabbat, right? Anyway, Shalach Lois, so Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi sent back as follows. First of all, first of all, this is what my father said on a pasuk in Halal. My dichtiv Halaluas Hashem Kol Goyim. What do you mean, praise Hashem, all nations? Umasta Ola, Maya Bittayu. Why would the nations be praising Hashem? What Ki Gover Aleinu Chasdo? We're the ones who should be praising Hashem, not them. So what it means is Ella Hafi Tama. The pasuk means Halaluas Hashem Kol Goyim Agvuris from the floors to Pa'avid Lahu. Means they should be praising Hashem for all the tremendous, mighty things and wonders that Hashem did for them. Kol Shekein Anan, and how much more so, Rashi seems to have a slightly different view. So he says the ones that Hashem did for us, meaning, and they saw them. So Kol Shekein Anan, to Gover Aleinu Chasdo, how much more so we, as the next passage continues, we that Gover Aleinu Chasdo, Hashem's chesed has overpowered us, how much more so that we should be praising Hashem. Yeah. Okay. So that's similar to what the Gemara is saying over here. So again, yeah, you have Rashi's Girsa is that these are the Nisim that they see Hashem does for us, and they see them, and therefore they praise Hashem, and how much more so we should be. But wait, on the other hand, Rashbam explains, and Marsha also explains, it means the Nisim that Hashem did for them. Or not for them, but against them. For example, the ones that Hashem did when Hashem punished the Mitzrayim and other nations like that, where they see what happened, and therefore the other ones who are left, the other nations see that, and they should praise Hashem for that, and how much more so we, for whom those things were done in the first place.
Indeed. Hashem is going to make for us a miracle, mm-hmm. and the whole world will see the miracle.
Yes, indeed.
And that's going to be this puzzle.
Yep. Yeah. There's another vort on it also, by the way. There's a well-known vort. I don't remember who said this. That the story goes that some Goyish king or minister or whatever asked the Rav this question, why Halleluah Hashem Kol Goyim? And the Rav tells him, listen, you Goyim are always coming up with all kinds of plots against us. We have no idea even what you guys are thinking of. But then the Eivishta somehow makes it that your plans get frustrated. We never even knew there was a problem in the first place. So that's but you, Halleluah Hashem Kol Goyim, that you realize how many times you were trying and Hashem frustrated your plans without us even knowing about it. Okay, so that was one. The oid shalach loy. Then Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi sent a second word. Asida Mitzrayim should tovi doran l'Mashiach. In the future, when Mashiach comes, Mitzrayim is going to bring a present to Mashiach. Kisvuru kisavur she'ena makabel emena. The Mitzrayim are going to think, or Mashiach himself is going to think, that he shouldn't accept it from them. Now, you have like this. This is in Kapitel. The Gemara is going to be darshining a few psukim from Kapitel Samaches of Tillim. Kapitel Samaches starts talking about Matan Torah. It talks about events of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Golos and so forth. And then, at the end of it, you have a few psukim that go like this. Mehecholecha al Yerushalayim. From your palace, meaning because of your palace in Yerushalayim, because of the Bismikash which is in Yerushalayim, Lachoye Vila Malachim Shai, to you kings will bring presents. Then the pasuk continues with a pasuk about which the Gemara is going to douch in a minute about the Romans, and then it continues. Yasoyu Hashmanim Minim Mitzrayim, noblemen will come from Mitzrayim. Kush Toritz Yodav Lelekim, Kush will run to bring a gift to Hashem with their hands. So why are we singling out Mitzrayim and Kush? So because even though all the other nations are going to be coming and bringing presents, originally Mitzrayim is going to think, how could we? Hashem is surely going to reject it, considering how we treated the Jewish people. And Mashiach is going to think that. Mashiach, mehem, but Hashem tells Mashiach, accept the present from them. After all, they were hospitable to my children in Mitzrayim, to begin with in Yosef and Yaakov's times, and therefore their present is worth accepting. Meaning, in other words, there's some good in them. So then, Nosa Kush Kavachoyim of Asma. So that causes Kush, which is the nation immediately next to Mitzrayim, to start thinking to themselves and make a Kavachoyim. Umaha Lolush and Ishtabdu Behentach, Madach Mitzrayim, who subjugated the Jewish people, and still Hashem is willing to accept their gift. We never enslaved the Jewish people, so how much more so that if we bring a gift to Hashem, that Hashem will accept it. So meaning, in other words, the Rif explains over here that originally Kush figures that, okay, you know, we could bring presents just like all the other nations, but okay, do we know that Hashem actually appreciates it? Now that we see that Hashem says to Mashiach, accept the gift from Mitzrayim, so that makes Kush start thinking, you know, well, it's not just we're bringing presents to show our subservience to Hashem and to Mashiach. It's rather that Hashem himself will appreciate it. So therefore, all the more so, we should do that. And yeah. Chashmana means nobleman. In fact, there's an explanation. That's where the name Chashminoi, that's where the Chashminoim, there's one explanation that they got their name from that, because the word Chashmana means nobleman, and they were a noble family.
But the fact that
Hashem tells them to, yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
Mini Mitzrayim
means from Mitzrayim. Mini is a poetic word like min. I skipped the line in the Gemara. Miyad, yes, so Chashmanim, Mini Mitzrayim. So sure enough, as the Pasuk says, noblemen will come from Mitzrayim with gifts from Mashiach. And then Nasa Kush Kavachomer Ba'atzma. So then Kush starts thinking of Kavachomer to themselves. Ma Lolish Nishtabu Behen Kach Onush Len Shabadu Behen Alchas Kama L'Kama. How much more so we should bring a gift and Hashem will appreciate it. Omale Akash Bohu Kavu Mehem. So Hashem tells Mashiach, yes, accept Kush's gift. Miyad, and therefore the pasuk continues. Kush Tarets Yodav Lelekim. Kush will want to bring a gift to Hashem with their hands. Now, Nosa Malchus Edom Kavachomer Ba'atzma. Now, at that point, Malchus Edom, the Romans, are going to make a Kavachomer to themselves. Omra, and they're going to think, Umahalolo She'en Acheyem, Madach, these nations, Mitzrayim and Kush, which are not their brothers, Kach, and yet Hashem appreciates their gift and tells Mashiach to accept them. Onu She'acheyem, were their brothers, because after all, the Romans are descended from Edom, from Esav, Alachas Kamavakama, how much more so that we should bring a gift? And Hashem will accept it. Kush is from Chom, Mitzrayim and Kush are from Chom, right? But even more closely is that they're descended from Esav, who is from Esav, who is the brother of Yaakov. Halo Och Esav the Yaakov. However, Omalei Akadosh Baruch Hu LeGabriel, but Hashem tells Gabriel with the pasuk that's in Tilim in between these two pesukim, Hashem tells him no. The whole pasuk goes. That's how the whole pasuk goes, and now the Gemara is going to douch in it phrase by phrase. So Hashem says to Gabriel, rebuke the beast of the wild animal of the reeds. So first, the Gemara douches kona maloshin kona maloshin acquiring ge'ar chaya, rebuke that wild animal like people, the Romans. And acquire for yourself the Ada, the Jewish people, the congregation of the Jewish people, because they managed to withstand Edom all this time. They're the ones who deserve to be the honored ones, not the Romans at that time. So Ga'ar Chayas, and then Kona would be Meloshim Kona acquire. The Rashbam actually brings an explanation that maybe the Ada over here refers to Mitzrayim and Kush, that he's saying Mitzrayim and Kush deserve to be honored, but not Edom. But he says no, Ada always means the Jewish people. Another explanation. So in other words, Marshall says already the Jewish people are the property of Hashem before that. Amzu Karnisa. Now you're going to have, as the pasuk says, Yosef Hashem Shenis Yodei Liknos, that Hashem will, so to speak, reacquire the Jewish people. So therefore, Hashem is telling Gabriel that you're going to rebuke and then drive away Edom, and the Jewish people are going to be my special possession. Dover Acher, another explanation. What? So we're saying, even though Haloi Och Esav the Yaakov, Hashem is saying, no, the Adomim think because they're Yaakov's brother, therefore they deserve to share, but no, they don't. Dover Acher, Ga'ar Chayas Kone, Shadora Ben Akanim. Another explanation of the word Kone over here is, it means a reed, it means the wild animal that lives among the reeds, meaning in the forest. Dichtiv, as you have the pasuk, Yechar Semena Chazir Miyar, the wild boar, the wild pig of the forest, eats it up, the Beis Mikdash and the Jewish people, the Ziz Sada Yirena, and Ziz Sada, which the Gemara mentions in Bava Basra as a kind of gigantic bird, feasts on it. So we see that Edom is compared to like a wild boar that tramples everything and that lives in the forest. Marashal says, so why konim b'loshin yochid? Why not konim? Because it's being meramez on that famous stick that Gabriel stuck into the Mediterranean and around which the city of, around which the dirt and rocks collected and eventually the city of Rome was founded there. So they're the wild animal of the konim, where their whole empire begins with one reed. And Gabriel being Hashem's malach of Gvura, so therefore he's the one to execute the judgment against them and then destroy them. Another meaning, Omalei, Hashem tells Gabriel, rebuke that wild animal-like nation where everything they do is written with one pen. Again, because there's konne in the singular, which means, in other words, Rashbam says that whenever it comes to harming the Jewish people, all of them are unanimous about it. It's as if they're all writing with one pen a verdict against the Jews. There's nobody to stand up on their behalf. The pasuk continues, Adas Abirim Be'eglei Amim, the congregation of mighty ones among the calves of the nations. So what does that mean? Sheshochtu Abirim, the Romans killed Abirim, mighty Tamid Chachamim, and mighty people of Ma'is and Tervim, Kad Golem Shein Lam by them as if they were calves that have no owner where they're free for all. Where the pasuk continues, Misrapis Beratze Kosef. The word misrapis means like trampling, so trampling with the desire for money. Meaning the Romans are so corrupt, they stick out their hand demanding money, demanding bribes and whatever, they know some refsain by them and they don't even accomplish what you gave them a bribe for. And the word misnapis, in other words, we're doushining as matir pas. They open up the palm of their hand, gimme, 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 and then they don't even do what you wanted them to do. Very much ripped from the headlines currently. And when the pasuk finishes off, Bizar Amin Kroves Yechbatsu, the pasuk finishes off, he scattered the nations who wanted Kroves, meaning ultimately Mid Gorem Lahem Yisrael Shei Spazur Ben Omos Olam, what caused that the Jews became scattered among the nations? Kroves Shei Chafetin Behem, the closeness that the Jewish people wanted to be close to the Goyim, therefore Hashem scattered them all over so they don't become too close to the Goyim. Or Marshall says another meaning of Kroves can also mean fights. How did the Churban Bayis tradition happen? How did the Churban Bayis Sheni happen? Because there were Jews that were spoiling for a fight by the first Beis Mikdash. You have Yirmiyahu telling them over and over, be loyal to Nebuchadnezzar, don't rebel against him, and the Beis Mikdash will continue to stand, and you won't go into Golus. By the second Churban, you have the Biryonim, where the Chachamim are telling them, don't go and try to fight against the Romans. And in both cases, the fact that they were spoiling for a fight led to the Churban and to the Golus. So therefore, that's the Bizaramim, Krovus Yechbatsu, because the Jewish people wanted war rather than living under the control of these Goyim, or as Rashi says, because they wanted to be too close to the Goyim, and therefore Hashem has to scatter them for their own good so we don't assimilate among the Goyim. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, what is today? Tes Cheshvin. The Rebbe talks about when we make a Cheshvin Tzedek about Gola, we have that has to be, so, today's Chesed. So when a person makes a cheshbon tzedek regarding the geula, that has to come out in particular that a person is extra careful and extra mahadir with kiddush levana. First of all, that would mean, as the halacha is, that you do kiddush levana with good nice clothing, Shabbos clothing, out in the street, bereva mahadras melech, even in places where they weren't makbid on until now because people live among the goyim. That means also being careful with the time of kiddush levana and most of all to do kiddush levana with a special kavana. To quickly bring and to accomplish quickly, B.S. David Malcolm Mashicha, as we say at the end of Kiddush Levana, Vitruas Hashem Alekei and B.S. David Malcolm. Now we have to not only seek the closeness of Hashem, but also seek that David HaMelech and Mashiach should come. Miyad Mashiach. Continuing on halachas of when you're allowed to have a goy do malacha for you when you're on Shabbos and when not. So another criteria we said so far, a few different criteria. Another one is that it can't be something attached to the ground. For example, you can't have a goy do construction work or field work for you on Shabbos. So even if everything else, even if you prearranged with him the payment and everything else, if it's a doichet gadol, then you ask her rov. As far as, for example, if he's preparing building materials, then it depends. If it's known that it's for a Jew and the goy is doing it in a public place, you also can't do it on Shabbos. If, for example, now let's say with a field, if the goy takes a certain percentage of the crop, and that's the local minhag that a sharecropper does it, then such a thing would be mutter. And also, if the field is far away from the city, then it would be allowed as long as you're not hiring him by the day, because then it's not obvious that it's a Jewish field.